Good evening. Well, I am so excited to be here tonight and speak with you all. I get to fill in for the big guy, so I'll try to do him proud. But for those of you who don't know me, my name is Mackenzie Garber. I am from the small town of Heal, and in this past June, I was crowned Miss Missouri with the Miss America program, and I've been going to Cornerstone for the past 5 years. I've spoken to the youth and the gathering, and this is my first time really giving an entire message to the adult congregation. I see we have some younger people here tonight too, which I love, but I'm really excited to share this message I have with you. It's a message I've had on my heart for a while, and when Pastor Stan asked me to speak, I didn't really even have to think about what it was I was going to speak about because I already knew what I wanted to speak about. So my message tonight is called All Things in Love, and it's based off of 1 Corinthians 16:14, which tells us to do all things in love. And a lot of my message tonight really echoes what Pastor Stan spoke about on Easter Sunday, because I really think there was so much profound truth to what he had to say about our mission as Christians on this world, and I really think all of that revolves around Christ's love. And what greater act of love than what Jesus did for us on the cross. And we are his instruments left on the earth to echo that great love that he showed us. So my message tonight, it does have a lot of scripture in it. So if you brought your Bible, you don't have to try to keep up, because I'm going to use a lot of different verses from different books of the Bible to illustrate some of my points. And then our longer passages will be up on the screen. But most of our verses tonight come from Corinthians, because I really love the book of 1 Corinthians, and I think it has so much truth for us to gain from. So just a little background info on the Corinthians. It was written by Apostle Paul, and he wrote the 1 Corinthians letters from Turkey to the members of the Church of Jesus Christ in Corinth, which was Greece, which was a well-established unit of the church. So to other Christians, they had their act together. But he actually wrote these letters because there was a lot of disturbance going on in the church and sorrow and heartache, and the Christians were growing apart from God. And unfortunately, that's the world that we live in today. A lot of us find ourselves distant from God before we even realize it. And I'm sure you know a lot of people who have grown away from God, and it's devastating. But it's really easy to find your way back. And Paul wrote about all of that in these letters. And he covered a lot of topics that revolve around the basic principles of Christianity. And some of those were basic problems in the church, the principle of the Spirit of God, Christ as God's power and wisdom, resurrection and the message of Christ's death, which we all just mourned and celebrated this past weekend, idolatry, self-righteousness, the settling of civil cases, the covenant of marriage, using your body for God's glory, how to use Christian freedom. He even covered the Lord's Supper, gifts from the Holy Spirit, and one that we're really going to focus on tonight, which is giving to others, especially those who need it most, because that's really what we are supposed to do with love, is to share it with others, especially those who need it most, those who are the least lovable. So the verse that our message revolves around tonight is at the end of Paul's letter, and that's 1 Corinthians 16:14. He says, do all things in love. So after he talks about all of these important principles of being a Christian, what it means to be a follower of Christ, he says, do all things in love. That's the roadmap to everything that we're supposed to do, and he is our example of what perfect love is. Unfortunately, we can't have perfect love because we are imperfect, but Christ is our example of what that looks like. So I want to talk about that tonight. What does perfect love look like? Because we can at least strive for it. What does pure love look like? And we're going to talk about three areas in which we can show perfect love: in our speech, our actions, and how we give, how we treat others, which really encapsulates our speech and our actions. But before we dive in, there is something important to remember. Paul didn't just write these letters for anyone. A lot of people think that the content in the Bible was applicable to everybody when it was written, but it wasn't. It was written for Christians. It was written for people who already thought they were following God's will. but we are imperfect. So that's why Paul wrote these letters, was to guide them in a more righteous path. So a lot of these things are very profound that we're going to talk about tonight. And something I was thinking about when I was thinking about this message is how basic people define love. And usually it's a romantic kind of love or a family kind of love. And there's been a lot of psychological studies on love, and they've broken it down into 5 love languages, which I think is really funny because a lot of people think that they have 1 or 2 love languages that which are really strong, which may be very true. But the 5 love languages that psychologists have come up with are gifts, quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service, and touch. And I want us all to pretend tonight that there aren't 5 love languages, that there is only 1, and that is God's love, Jesus' love. Because no matter which one of those you use, gifts, quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service, or touch, it's all from God. All good things, all love is of God. That's what the Bible tells us. So something to keep in mind as we dive into it, a Christian's view of love is different than the rest of the world because it's of God. So now that we've covered all of that, let's start with speech. And this is our first verse that I'm going to use to talk about speech, and it comes from Ephesians 4:10 through 15. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. So let's look at the last line of that. Instead of being consumed by the ways of the world, which are very easy to fall into, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And I think a lot of people spend their life looking for their purpose, and I'm only 21, so I don't know all the truths about life. But what I do know, I think our purpose in life is to be instruments of God. And in order to be that, we have to be in his likeness. And we can't just wake up one morning and be in his likeness. It's work, because a lot of the world is the opposite of Christ's likeness. So I love this passage because it talks about being like him and becoming mature in Christ. And there are a lot of ways in the world, as I'm sure a lot of you know, that we can get distant from God, and we can lose sight of what's really important. And what's really important is that we are acting as Christ and loving others as Christ. And it's the most powerful way that we do that is through our speech. And so that's why I picked speech to be the first one that we focus on, because I think our voice, our speech, is how we have the greatest impact on the world. Not everybody. Some people are artists and they draw and they have different ways of impacting the world. But in our everyday lives, the biggest way that we impact other people is through our speech. And I like to talk a lot, if you can't tell. So that, I know that's how I have the biggest impact on people. That's the biggest gift that God gave me. And that's something I also want you all to think about tonight, is God gave us all different gifts, gifts of the Spirit, fruits, and we all excel in different ones. And I know for me, it's words, it's speaking. Ever since I was born, I can't shut up. So just think about that. And that's why I made speech our first one. And it says in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. And that sounds extreme, but I really think it's literal. The tongue has power of life and death. So what we say can kill and destroy, or it can breathe life into people. And as a young person, especially as Miss Missouri, I speak a lot. And even on a personal level, I share my dreams with people. And coming from a small town, sometimes people, they will doubt other people's dreams or say things. And that's really killing and destroying. And I think that God wants us to breathe life into people. Now, there's ways, if you don't agree with people, to tell them in a loving way. But that really hit me. I think it was the summer of my junior year of college. I was about to be a senior. I was working at Woody's to save money to go to film school in California. And a screensaver was on someone's computer, and it said, "Speak only in love." And that just, like, stopped me in my tracks. Speak only in love. That is so difficult, to only speak in love, especially with the people that we love. When they upset us or they hurt us, whether it's our children or our significant other or our parents, those are the people that it's the easiest to just spew what's hurting you or what's bothering you about them in the relationship. And the Bible says to speak only words of love. And I think that is one of the most difficult expectations that God has for us. And he knows that we're going to fall short, but to only speak words of love. So I remember that just really hit me. And I thought of all the ways that we can fall short of that. So let's look at some of the ways that we use speech and where we might fall short of speaking only in love. So we have our verbal speech, our interpersonal speech, and our relationships. We talked about our relationships with those that we love most, which sometimes is the easiest time to not speak in love. And here's another one that's become really big in the past 5 or 10 years, which is digital communication, social media. Raise your hand if you have social media. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Tumblr, the list goes on and on. Well, unfortunately, we don't always speak in love on social media. I found working with students as Miss Missouri, my platform is character education, that a lot of times the biggest form of bullying is done on the internet. It's called cyberbullying. And I have found that to kind of be true with adults. Even if it's not bullying, we like to sometimes vent or say more than we should on social media. So I think it's a fine line in keeping our personal things personal and our public things public. And social media is extremely public. So that's the way I have to analyze myself, is am I speaking only in love on social media? And then a big one, the third one I would say, is how we speak in front of youth, how we speak in front of children, because our words and actions shape children. They model after us. And it's very easy to say things in front of your kids and not think anything of it, but it really does affect their minds. And your words also affect your mind. I really believe in the power of positive thinking. And that's how I get through life, besides for God's love. But I think that comes from God's love, is the power of positive thinking. Because even though we're imperfect and our lives are crazy and messy and busy and chaotic, God doesn't care about all that. He only cares about how much we love him and how we're showing that love in the world. So I really believe in the power of positive thinking and speaking life, not only into yourself, but into other people. Sometimes people ask me, which I told you I'm 21, I definitely don't know everything. People will ask me, how do you stay on top of your crazy schedule without losing your mind? And how do you keep a positive self-image when you're constantly being, you know, viewed and criticized as a state title holder? And it's really positive thinking and trying to see myself as God sees me, because God sees me as his daughter and I am made in his image. We are made in his image. So to him, he knows we're not perfect, but all the things that we worry about, he really doesn't worry about. So that was my last little piece of advice for how we speak, is to think positively. And there's a saying that what you say is what you become. And I think that's true. Are you a negative person? Do you say negative things? Or are you a positive person and you say positive things? Okay, so the second one is our actions. And we have another passage that comes from 1 Corinthians 13. And it says, "And now I will show you the best way of all." This is towards the end of Paul's letters in 1 Corinthians. "I may speak in different languages of people or even angels, but if I do not have love, I am only a noisy bell or a crashing cymbal. I may have the gift of prophecy. I may understand all the secret things of God and have all knowledge, and I may have faith so great I can move mountains. But even with all these things, if I do not have love, then I am nothing. I may give away everything I have I may even give my body as an offering to be burned, but I gain nothing if I do not have love. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag, and it is not proud. Love is not rude, is not selfish, and does not upset with others. Love does not count up wrongs that have been done. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love patiently accepts all things. It always trusts, always hopes, and always remains strong. Love never ends. There are gifts of prophecy, but they will be ended. There are gifts of speaking in different language, but those gifts will stop. There is the gift of knowledge, but it will come to an end. The reason is that our knowledge and our ability to prophesy are not perfect. But when perfection comes, the things that are not perfect will end. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I stopped those childish ways. It is the same with us. Now we see a dim reflection, as if we were looking into a mirror. But then we shall see clearly. Now I know only a part, but then I will know fully as God has known me. So these three things continue forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So I think that 1 Corinthians 13, this is my personal opinion, if there was one part of the Bible that people needed to know, it would be that passage, because it has so many famous verses in it. And my favorite is the last line. So these three things continue forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So what Paul is telling us is that there is only one thing that is eternal, that is infinite, that is beyond comprehension, and that is God's love. And the Bible tells us that God's love cannot be understood. It is impossible to comprehend because it is so vast and never-ending, just like we can't comprehend eternity and what life will be like after death. But that's why I love studying love, because I love studying love, because I think that's what God wants us to do, is to be instruments of his love. And that is done through our actions. And Paul talks about it doesn't matter all the great things that you do in life or all the great things you give, sacrifice. You have to give love. That's the most important thing. And we can show that through those things, that if we don't understand the true value of pure love, not out of selfishness or self-gain, then we won't ever truly know God. And so I really wanted to touch on actions, because there are so many ways that we show how we care for other people through our actions. And so let's talk about some of the ways that we do that. We have family members and people that we care for. We go to work, and we have goals. I'm sure a lot of you have goals and things that you want to get done. And it's important to stop in your busy schedule and ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it out of self-gain or conceit, or is it to better others? And I think it's interesting to look at the professions that people go into and why they go into them and why they're passionate about them. And you will find that people who really love their jobs, they love it because it helps other people and it brings joy to other people. I feel sorry for the men at airports who have to lift luggage. I don't know how they do that all day, their poor backs. But when I went to Miss America, they only had 2 security guards, and there were 52 contestants. And their duty was to meet all of us at the airport and to lift our luggage into the shuttles. And we didn't pack the 2-bag limit. It's different when you go to Miss America. You get a limitless bag limit. One girl packed 10 suitcases, believe it or not. And these security guards, who don't normally lift heavy suitcases, their muscles haven't been trained for that. They're lifting these heavy suitcases into these shuttles for 2 days. And they're hobbling around chasing us for the next 2 weeks around Atlantic City. And I asked one of them, I said, why did they have 2 of you lift all those suitcases? What is the point of that? And he just smiled, this big smile. And he said, well, that's okay, because we got to help you girls out and we'll be fine. And I thought how easy it would have been for him to grumble and moan. And I'm sure if I interviewed someone who worked at an airport, they might feel the same way. I hope they feel the same way. But you know how it is to go through airport security and they're grouchy and they don't like what they're doing. And then there are some people, they know it's just as stressful for you too, and they want you to have a good day and they smile at you and they're nice to you. I love it when I fly and the people are friendly. It's like the flight attendants are always friendly, but the security people, not so much. But I use it as an example because whatever you're doing, if you're feeling in a slump with your job and you're looking for motivation to accomplish things, think about the reason why you do it. I drive about 1,000 miles a week in my car. I drove from the Lake of the Ozarks this morning, and I'll be driving to Joplin tonight. And it is incredibly exhausting. I'm always unpacking one suitcase and packing another. And there are times when I ask myself, why do I do this to myself? This is exhausting. I'm crazy. But then I think of my why, and I think of the students that I get to speak to, that I get to impact, that really listen to what I have to say, and hopefully inspire them to be people of character like Christ. And then I say, oh, those 1,000 miles just dissolved into nothing because I remember my why. So I want to encourage you all to remember your why. If it's physical labor that you're doing or work that's underappreciated or underpaid, to just remember your why and why you do it and find joy and know that God finds joy in what you do. And if it is well done, then he is pleased in that. I have to remember that God only asks for our best, nothing else. So in our work, valuing if it's why you do it out of self-gain or for others, here's another action, kind of opposite of speech, but a part of speech, and that's listening. Listening is a big way that we show love, and that is something that I have to work on every single day because I love to talk. And I find myself sometimes just all I care about is saying what I have to say and them listening to me. And then if they want to say something, I can't be quiet. That's something I've struggled with. And that's really important. A lot of people struggle with listening unless you're more of an introverted person and you love to listen. But sometimes we get caught up in what we have going on and our problems and our cell phones and everything that's going on. And the Bible says to be still and know that I am God. And you have to remember that the people in your life that you come across, they are just as much a part of God as you are. They are part of Christ's body, and that's why, or the body of God, that's why it's important to listen. So sometimes I think when I'm listening to someone, it's like a bar loading on a computer. That's really how I have to tell myself to just load because I'm so extrovert and I always like to talk and to really listen to people because I think that's such an important part of showing compassion is listening to people. And we talked about our why, and one thing I was going to add on to that is always doing things with remembrance of the virtue behind what you're doing. There's a saying that my dad has always told me, and it's something I always share when I go speak to students. Virtue is its only reward. So doing the right thing or doing your job with joy may not always bring you merit or popularity, or make you the man on top in a difficult situation when you're really mad at somebody. But virtue is the greatest reward because that is what God asks of us, is to be virtuous and pure like Jesus. And this really goes with my platform, Character Education. When I speak to students, I talk about the golden rule, which is respect, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But that is a huge principle in the Bible. And that is Matthew 22:39. It's illustrated in a lot of verses, but Matthew 22:39 says, love your neighbor as yourself. And I know we're all pretty familiar with that verse, but it's very hard to fully grasp that and embody that and live that message to love your neighbor as yourself. Think about how much, even if you lack self-confidence, how much you care about your well-being. And just imagine if you did that with every person you came in contact with. And that's what I strive to do in my job as Miss Missouri. And I know that I fall short. There are times when I'm exhausted. But I really strive every person I meet to value them and to listen to them and love them as myself. And if you're really living a life like that, it is incredibly exhausting. But what better thing to be exhausted for than to love everyone as yourself? Like if I watch a movie, I feel bad for the bad guy because I try to empathize with them. So there's just an example of empathy. And in Matthew 7:8-12, it says, for everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, imperfect, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So the Bible is telling us, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you is the moral of the law of the prophets. So it's right there in front of us. And there's one more verse to illustrate my point. Matthew 25:40. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. I really think in rural America, sometimes we forget what that means. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So that means people of different religious beliefs, people of different skin color, different opinions, different socioeconomic backgrounds, the people that you least associate with or the people that you least admire, murderers, killers, God is asking us to love them. Who did Jesus spend his time with? Sinners. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. He humbled himself to show God's love on the world. And I think a lot of times we forget about that. We get caught up in all the hate that's going on and we isolate ourselves from it. And I'm not saying to associate with negative behavior, but to have compassion and empathy, and to you can still love those people, because even if they aren't following God, they are God's children and they are your brother or sister in Christ. And I think that's something our world really needs to think more about, is loving other people even though they are the least lovable. And the last part, so we've talked about ways of showing love in speech and actions. The last one is giving, which encompasses our speech and our actions. And remember in 1 Corinthians 13, it says that love is the greatest gift no matter what you can do, showing love in everything. And in Corinthians 8:9, it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. So that really echoes everything that we just mourned and celebrated over Easter, is that even though he lived a perfect life, Christ was broken for our insufficiencies, so that we may become whole. So if there's one thing that we can do in life, is to show the love that God had for us. And a big role model of mine is Mother Teresa. I went to college at Oral Roberts University, which is a private Christian school in Tulsa, Oklahoma. If you don't know the story of how I went there, I didn't want to go there. I wanted to go to the University of Missouri for journalism, and God had different plans for me. So I ended up at ORU, and I had to write a paper about a Christian who had a large impact on the world. And so I wrote about Mother Teresa, and I gained so much respect for her and all that she did in her life. And there are some quotes that I learned writing about her that have really stuck with me. And the first one I want to share with you all is, if you judge people, you have no time to love them. And that really goes with what we just talked about, loving the least loved. If you judge people, even in our local area, for their sins or stupidity or whatever it might be, there are lots of reasons to judge people. If you judge them, you have no time to love them. Think of the people that Mother Teresa dealt with. She dealt with the sickest of the sick, the poorest of the poor, people who were stealing, who were leaving their children to be orphans, and she loved them. She laid down her life to love them and to show them God's love. In another quote of hers that I have to tell myself every day, it's not how much we give, but how much love we put into giving. So for me personally, I was given a lot of drive, and sometimes I think I always need to be doing more. But God only asks for our best, and I think our best is how much love we put into everything we do. So I love that verse, or that quote, it's not how much we give, but how much love we put into giving. Never taking for granted the small everyday interactions we have with people. If we run into them in Walmart, stopping, and I know it's hard. When you go into Walmart, you want to go in and get out, and it's like impossible in a small community. But stopping and taking the time, you never know when you run into somebody how important it is that God placed you there in that minute of time to impact them in some way. You never know what they're going through or what, you know, what they need to hear. Maybe they just need to be shown a little piece of God's love that day. So I try to remember that every day because sometimes I'm in a hurry or I think I need to be doing more or I think I'm insufficient for what God wants for me. And even my relationship with God, sometimes I think I need to be giving more, which I know that we can always give more because His love is infinite. But it says it's not how much we give, but how much love we put into giving. So I love that. And wrapping up here, I want to go to 1 Corinthians 3:9. And it says, "For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." So that's really a metaphor for life. If you think of the earth as a giant field, which it pretty much is because it's soil and water, we are His workers on earth. We don't really know why we're here, but we know that God put us here for something. And Pastor Stan spoke about on Sunday, he said something that it really stuck with me. It was like the thing that I remember when I left church. And he said, "We are all that is left of Christ on the earth." And I have never thought about it that way before. When Christ was crucified on the cross and He rose from the dead, His physical presence on earth left. And we are all that is left of that. And I love nature. I a lot of times feel the closest to God when I see beautiful things in nature. And I do think that the whole world is God. But we have been given by God so many capabilities that the rest of the world doesn't have. Animals and plants and even beautiful sunsets don't have. And we have the ability to speak and to give acts of compassion to other people. And so I thought that what he said, that we are all that is left of Christ on earth, went perfectly with his message. And I think of Christ Jesus as an instrument of love on earth, like a beautiful violin or something that came and wiped out all the nastiness and noise. And a really powerful image for me is the Titanic when it was sinking. I recently visited the Titanic Museum in Branson, and there were a group of musicians when the ship was sinking who chose to play the music as the ship was sinking. They could have probably gotten on a lifeboat because they were the upper class. They were musicians. They came from rich families and were schooled to be the top classical instrumentalists of their time, and they chose to play music and to calm the people who couldn't get on the lifeboats and who couldn't be saved. And that's, I think, really an example of Jesus. He came into a broken world knowing that He would be crucified. Those musicians knew that they were going to die, and He chose to be perfect, to have perfect love, to love the least lovable. And I think that we are the echoes of that instrument as Christians. So even though the musicians died, we still have music. And even though Christ died on the cross, we still have love. And He showed us what that perfect love is. And so He gave the ultimate sacrifice for God. But I want us to think of being the echoes of that love that He showed. And there's a verse, Jeremiah 1:5. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet of the nations." So even though we may feel insignificant, and because the world is a big place, everything that you do, whether it's a conversation you have with a complete stranger or something you're doing at work that nobody knew about that helps the bigger picture, God sets you apart for that, and He knows everything you do. He knows the number of hairs on your head, every breath you take. He's numbered your steps, and He set you apart. You are special, and that's what I try to tell students when I speak at schools. God set you apart. Well, I can't, in some schools I can't say God, but I try to tell them, you are special. You are unique. Your imperfections are there for a reason, to inspire people and to make the world a better place. So just remember that God set you apart, and every single thing you do is an opportunity for you to be that echo of Christ's great love to people. And I just really felt like this message would be a good time after Easter when we were shown the ultimate act of love, and that was Christ's death on the cross. And so I wanted to share that with you all today and inspire you, hopefully, it's something that we all can always work on, is doing all things in love. So let's go back to that verse that inspired all of this, and that is 1 Corinthians 16:14. Let's start at 13. 1 Corinthians 16:13. And this is the very end of his letter. He's written all these letters about all those topics that I told you, and this is the final conclusion of everything he has to say. And he says, "Be alert, continue strong in the faith, have courage and be strong, do everything in love." And my favorite movie is the new Cinderella movie that came out last year by Disney. I don't think I've ever spoken this year without bringing up that movie. Every time I meet a little kid, I say, "Have you seen the new Cinderella movie?" And I keep a little pumpkin carriage Disney pin on my sash at all times to remind me to have courage and to be kind. And to have bold love, pure love, unselfish love like Jesus, it takes strength and it takes courage. It is not easy because the world is going to throw a lot of things in our face that make us not want to be bunny rabbits and peaches and roses. But if you can do it, if you can work your hardest to always, in every situation, to have courage, to be kind, to treat others the way that Christ treated us, then I think that's what God asks of us. So that is what I wanted to talk about today, is doing all things in love, no matter how small, how big, how recognized or not, just to do everything that you do in love. So if you will bow your heads in prayer with me, we will close our time together. Dear Lord, thank you so much for bringing us all here safely tonight. I pray that you would help see all of us safely home tonight. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to share the message that you placed on my heart with them tonight, and for giving me the words to preach the truth that you have laid out for us and your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that even though Easter is over, we would remember the life of your precious Son, Jesus, and all that he taught us during his short time here on earth, and all that he is still revealing to us seated next to you in eternity, God. And I pray that you always help us remember that you are the purpose of our life, and the greatest way that we can serve you is through love, and the greatest way that we can find true happiness and fulfillment and value in our life is by doing all that we do with love. And we pray all of this in your precious Son's Jesus' name. Amen.